What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app. Your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's, only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM, save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Middlecoff!
Yeah, baby! Hey,
it is here, upon us. The moment
I'm at
has
the game.
Come.
I'm here. It's Mahomes, Jimmy, Kyle.
From the sidelines. Shh, it's windy.
Amazing.
Andy!
Coach!
Mitch Holtis, Len Dawson. Len still with us?
I'm not answering that question after the debacle of Rudy T the other day.
I'm not sure. I remember Len used to be the the Tom Flores with Mitch Holtis, but I don't think he might. I don't know if he is anymore. Okay. I get my crew, my local radio crew, sometimes the NFL mixed up.
Oh, really?
Like,
who else are you mixing up?
Well, I don't know. I don't know most of the other ones, but good. I just said that. I don't get any mixed up. I don't know anything about. I know it's Ike Reese and Merrill Reese. That's I know that team.
Wait, what? Ike? They're both their names are Reese.
Well, Merrill Reese and yeah. Ike Reese is the linebacker that I think is Merrill Reese's partner.
So they got two guys named Reese for the Eagles?
It might not be Ike Reese then. Maybe now that I'm thinking about. It. See, I get it mixed up.
It's an yes, older guy. You're right.
I feel like Ike's younger. It is Ike?
Well, I don't.
It's definitely Merrill.
There's Ike Reese who played linebacker for the Eagles.
Remember 2 years ago, or was it last year? Might have been last year. I was driving home from something, a wedding, and you were coming from somewhere, and we were both listening, and I called you. We were trying to figure out what time we were going to do the podcast. I was like, you should listen to this. Sirius XM on like Sunday mornings. They just kind of go rapid fire all the games, play by play guys. And yeah. I think you checked it, or maybe you were doing it and then I checked it out. However, it worked. It's kind of cool. And you're like, I hadn't heard Mel Reese is good. I mean, he really is. I mean, I'm a little biased just because I've met him and he's a nice guy, but he is. And you listen to him and he's pretty legit, isn't he? Top flight NFL play by play guy.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I don't know my NFL play by play guys quite like I know my baseball play by play guys. But
they're not as known, I would say, beside locally, right? Maybe and specific, like three or four, are just well known.
Yeah,
the Vikings guy is pretty famous. I don't know his
Paul
name,
Allen.
But he's yeah.
The Aussie muffed it.
We're a long way from that, John.
Would you agree that Jared Hayne didn't Hayne have a little DV or something pop up?
He did. I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Do you know who the Cowboys guy is?
That is Brad. It's a short last name. Brad Sham.
You know who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers guy is?
No.
He's an old Southern guy because he does Florida State too. He's just good. Okay. I heard him one time. I remember driving to the city on a Saturday to do like some local TV, and I just remember listening. Florida State, this was like 3 or 4 years ago, was in a big game. And was like, God damn, this guy's awesome. And I tweeted it out, and someone's like, oh yeah, he's the Bucks guy too. He's just he has the Southern. He just fits, kind of like
Who was Phil Savage's old partner that does Bama Radio and he does NASCAR?
Eli, don't call me Ari Gold.
Yeah. Yeah, they just, I think some people just in the South have distinct voices. R.I.P., mm-hmm. the guy from Auburn who was really good that had the famous call.
Yeah, I didn't know a ton about him.
Did you see the Tom Rinaldi special on him over this fall about, you know, how he passed away in a car crash, I mean, and the guy took over?
Yeah.
Powerful moment.
I did not, but I did have the thought this week because I've seen 900 photos of the field now, and it just – and I even read an article – this is how you know we're at, like, the end of the week. I read an article the other day about the colors, you know, and, like, the color scheme of this game. The two teams – I don't know if we've had a game with two teams wearing red.
Because they're kind of close.
Yeah. It's like Pantone 318C. I guess you literally can't get any closer in two tones of red or any color without actually being the same color than the Niners and the Chiefs. And I didn't know the Chiefs, you know, started in were they in Dallas?
Or? Salt Lake City?
No, they were in Texas.
Yeah, they were in Texas.
And they wanted to be Would that have been Lamar Hunt?
It was Lamar, yeah.
Wanted to be like blue and gold, but the Houston Oilers got like claimed those colors first or something weird. So then the Kansas City Texans picked red and gold, and then they moved to Kansas City whatever year they moved to Kansas City, and their logo changed, and they got the inspiration for the interlocking KC from the 49ers interlocking SF. And they admit like it's part of their logo history.
You know who could hang on a podcast if you just had dead air would be Belichick, because he would know all this shit. His knowledge of just random stuff. When you're like, Middlecoff, you just tweeted the Chiefs have never been to the Super Bowl, you moron. Just because the NFL started in 1970 doesn't mean the Super Bowl didn't exist for the last 4 years. I'm like, oh yeah, I just assumed. You know, you just realize you can kind of gloss over a little history. Oh yeah, when this team moved there, you know, the Lakers, you know, the Minnesota Lakes. But I don't really know. I couldn't tell you anything more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, just the team moved. But when you really know your history, you're like, well, when they were in Minnesota, they had these three players. Or when, you know, Kansas City, when Lamar founded them, they were doing this and then this and the Houston. Oh, I heard some good stories about Art Modell and Belichick. And you realize there's a lot of shit I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
not just in life, because I don't really know anything, but just sports history, like true sports history.
Right.
You know, well, you brought up Roberto Clemente the other day, and I've heard that 50 times. I'm like, I don't know if I was super locked in on the Roberto Clemente story. You know, you're like, I just kind of went with it. I was like, yeah, I mean, no, that was crazy. I didn't, I'll be honest, full disclosure, I didn't know. I did not know. And
oh, you didn't know
go,
that Roberto Clemente had died in a plane crash?
I did, but I didn't know it was while he was playing, while he was still an active player. It was still when he was still an active player, right?
Well, he had been in the league 17, 18 years, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be the equivalent of like Tom Brady. I mean, kind of like Tom Brady died, right, this offseason or something. You know, he hadn't retired yet. But again, I would have known Roberto Clemente had a bad death. But I don't think I would have just – everywhere I've gone, I've just heard the word Roberto Clemente being on Radio Row just in the background, and you just kind of know what they're talking about. I'm just like, oh, yeah, similar, you know. He's kind of, kind of my Lund. Yeah.
Whoa.
That was a joke. Pro's pro.
Pro's pro. I was talking to a guy who told me that he interviewed Roberto Clemente's son a few years ago, and he asked him, like, what's it like when you meet all these people who know your dad better than you knew him, because he was very young. And he said, you know, early in my life, I had to really think about, like, nobody ever came up to me and said anything bad about my dad. There never one person was like, you know, your dad was a jerk to me. Like, everybody told me my dad was the most amazing person, and I started to wonder, like, is it possible my father was the greatest person ever? You know, because he's dead. People only tell you how wonderful he was. I don't know how you get that answer if you're him, but, you know, I hadn't considered that, the challenge of really getting to know the whole person. It's impossible.
Because he was young when it happened?
Yeah. I don't know how old he was, but
a lot of death talk this week.
Well, yeah. You know, like this podcast out on a Friday. If you're listening to this before the weekend, the first Laker game is Friday night.
Seriously? Oh, of course they're not going to cancel the season. They got to come back sometime. So that was their next game.
Yeah, they're playing Adam Clanton's Rockets.
I broke down.
Middlecoff went on Houston. I'm not that serious. Everybody, Middlecoff went on Houston radio on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm sure many. It was Wednesday, yeah. The guy that I fought with on Twitter for so long. I was told if you don't go, the justification was good. If you don't go, this is a time when you kind of fuck around, one. And two, he can then say, we tried to have him on. We tried to, you know, talk face to face.
He dodged us.
He pushed out. He dodged us. He was scared of the heat. So you couldn't be scared of the heat.
Didn't want the smoke.
Luckily, the Astros, they have two teams on his station. The Astros, and the Houston Rockets. So it's just a good, it's well-timed.
Astros brought to you by Manscaped 3.0. What was that?
Yeah. That was the buzzer. That was the buzzers.
This podcast is brought to you by Sleep Number. Sleep Number. What do? You go to sleepnumber.com/ham. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. 9 out of 10 couples prefer a different mattress firmness. Some feather soft. Some rock hard firm. You can adjust each side of your Sleep Number bed to your setting, so it's just right for both of you. Sleep, as we know, as John is learning in Miami, vital for healthy living. Strengthens immunity, increases the ability to focus, sharpens cognitive function, improves physical health, emotional well-being, helps you recover from an open tab with Pop at the Clevelander. I mean, there's all these things that you need your Sleep Number for, John.
You really do, guy. I set mine at a 10. Weren't you in the 70s?
I'm nice and hard. 74, 76.
I know your wife can go closer to my number. She likes it softer. It's the great thing about being a couple in the bed, guy, is that, not that I don't know that personally, guys told me that.
Well, whatever.
I just wanted to clarify.
Who cares?
That's a great part for a couple. You can switch the sides of the bed because how many people like the bed at the same firmness?
Nobody.
Softness? There's constantly. Have you ever met two people that like the same type pillow? Everyone likes a different type pillow. So beds are no different, and sleeping is key. I love my friends' Sleep Number. Like you said, the NFL, I bet Roger Goodell is sleeping in a Sleep Number as well. Discover proven quality sleep and save 50% on the 360 limited edition smart bed now during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, guy. Only at Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/ham. That's sleepnumber.com/ham.
Official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Podcast
Roger's
also.
Roger's in one right now.
Probably. I do think this world has changed, John. Like, when we were kids, you'd go to somebody's house. There were four people there. Their mom would just order pizza. She might ask you what you want, but she's not ordering four different pizzas. I feel like now, maybe people out there with kids who you got to do things for kids, let us know. But like it used to be just, give me four bean and cheese burritos with chicken. Now it's like little Tommy needs this and little Jimmy needs that. And mine can't be, I need a gluten-free tortilla wrap. And
when we were growing up and you were at a friend's house, you ate whatever they gave you. And most of the time it was fine because it was just different than your own home. So you didn't even care. You're 100%. I'm telling you, I have a family friend that told me he carpools sometimes to like AA, high school, junior high basketball. And if you go through the drive-thru with the wrong kid in the car, you get four Oreo cookie milkshakes, and you drop him off at Mr. Johnson's house, and Mrs. Johnson's there, and he walks in with that Oreo cookie shake, and they're not supposed to have sugar, you get screamed at because she'll call your wife. You're not supposed to do that. So you have to start telling the kids you're not allowed to go. Then your son doesn't want that kid to ride with you because he knows he won't get Jack in the Box on the way home. Yep. It has a domino effect of fun.
No doubt, when
me and you were in the car, we would just eat it, and our parents would be like, "Oh, tell you know the Wilsons, thank you for taking you for milkshakes."
That's right. And then their kid, the Wilson, next time the Wilson boy, Travis, he gets taken to Jack in the Box next time.
Guy, when you're under 20, it doesn't matter what you're eating. It really doesn't. Just eat what you want.
This podcast also brought to you by Simply Safe. Every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have no idea, I've always wondered about this, whether the alarm is real. All the alarm company can tell them is a motion sensor went off in the house. That's it. To them, seven burglars ransacking your home and mom with two bags of groceries unable to fix the button because she hit the wrong code. Same thing. Not with Simply Safe. Home security is different with Simply Safe. If there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime.
Guy, visit simplysafe.com/ham. because like you said, Simply Safe protects your homes from fires, water damage, carbon monoxide as well. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. Live. They're living. You can set up your system yourself. You've done it. I've done it. Really easy. No tools needed. Simply Safe can do it all for you. It's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. How easy is that to use? Again, visit simplysafe.com/ham. You'll get free shipping and 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to use simplysafe.com/ham so they know that we sent you. That's simplysafe.com/ham.
All right. Here we are.
We're here.
God, thank God. Thank God, John. The closer we get to this game, the more confident I get in your boy, Coach Andy Reid. This is the way I look at this game as we enter the weekend. I think the Chiefs have more room for error. That is, I think, if I could simplify what I feel about this game in one sentence, the Chiefs just have, I think they have more room for error. I won't even continue talking because that's as simply as I can put it. Do you agree with that?
Well, I asked someone today, I said, why do you think the Chiefs are favored despite clearly not having the better team? It's simple. They have the star quarterback. And so part of that is just the public. You know, just Mahomes is super famous. So you kind of set that. Because I think everyone agrees. Every single football mind you run into, the Niners are the better teams. And I'd say the majority, like the Dave Wanstead's, bullshit with him today for a minute, the old school coaches always believe the defense is going to win. Like they would always lean, I'd rather have the team with a better defense and a functional offense. I just think the game's changed a little bit where a guy like Mahomes can have a dramatic impact in the way the league is officiated. I say it all the time. The reason wide receivers are so in vogue right now is because it's impossible to guard them. You can't. Part of what made, you know, one game that keeps coming up is the Seattle-Denver game. Well, a couple things with Seattle. One, they broke rules, and they I was going to say they padded up, but that was Harbaugh. John Harbaugh would pad up during OTAs. Can you imagine being at Harbaugh's OTAs? You look out, they're fucking doing full padded practices. It's like, John, it's 2014. It's pretty clear this is not allowed. But Pete's was, you're not allowed to press. He didn't put pads on. What are you going to tell? Like, Richard, no pressing? And remember, all they did was press. And I would imagine if we did a little film study, hashtag film study, of the all 22 in that first half, because the game was kind of over by half, that they were just mauling guys at the line. And remember, Belichick made a career, those early three Super Bowl teams, they just mauled everybody. It's like, okay, Marshall Faulk, we're just going to tackle you. Teddy Bruschi, we just tackled him. Like, yeah, he didn't even have the ball, we just tackled him. You're not allowed to do that. So if you have these guys that can sprint around, because it always comes up in basketball, could these guys score all these points back in the day? Well, in fairness to the old heads, they could kind of maul you, right? They could put their hands on you. They could hip check you. Like things are now, they just blow the whistle. Same deal with football. I don't know where you stand on this. I feel it more in the NFL. You call college games. Like it doesn't feel like is defensive holding called a lot in college? Not like it is in the NFL. Would you agree?
No, that's a good question. I don't think it is.
I feel like how many times just an NFL game you're watching, do you feel defensive holdings called? Three or four?
You think it's that many? I would say a couple times.
Yeah, but I guess you feel it when it's a couple times, right? Because it is an automatic first down. And if they happen, if you're watching a game and it happens on multiple third and longs, that flips games. So part of a press corner or a physical corner, you can get called as much for pass interference as you can for holding. Maybe holding happens more in the pros because they run pick routes and you kind of hold on to guys. They try to cross your face and just the route trees are different, so you get fooled faster and you hold. I'm not saying holding doesn't happen. I just wish you'd give the DBs a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt. If you're not allowed to hold and you're not allowed to maul, how do you stop Carl Lewis and Michael Johnson flying down the field, guy? Those guys are just so fast.
Yeah.
That's where I keep getting back to. And whenever someone asks, you know, the Niners, man, they're going to kick their ass. I'm just like, well, I don't think they've seen a team. Maybe not kick their ass, but I feel confident in the Niners. This offense is a different animal. Now, I think the old adage is defense wins championships, and I get it, but I think Mahomes isn't comparable to some of these former teams that had, like, the 84 Miami Dolphins or some of those mid-80s John Elway teams. Like, they just weren't as talented to me as this team. Now, I'm speaking more just people would tell me they weren't as talented as the Chiefs, so I'm going to go by people I trust. But this Chiefs offense was historic last year, and they brought everyone back, and they added Hardman, who's fast. Now, I guess they lost Kareem Hunt, but they lost him last year toward the playoff run, remember?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm picking the Niners in this game.
Do you believe in defense wins championships in the sense of do you just automatically pick the defense over the sweet offense? Because this one feels a little unique.
No, I don't. I don't believe that because I think that's to me it's stupid to just apply that blindly to every game because good defenses are different. Good offenses are different. Good offenses, not all good offenses do the same thing or are good for the same reasons, and not all defenses are good for the same reasons. Like if you told me this Niners defense, its secondary is what its defensive line, what its pass rush is. If I told you the Niners secondary, the way we talk about the secondary is the way we have been talking about the defensive line. Like the secondary is the star of this defense. Would that make you feel better or worse about this game from a Niners perspective?
I'd feel better.
Yeah, I agree.
If they were the equivalent of
I don't
LOB,
think it's a great I don't yeah, I just don't think it's the best matchup for them.
Their best matchup are offense. Teams that want to run. Yeah, I agree.
And quarterbacks
doesn't like
that
to
aren't
run.
Mobile.
If the
and
quarterback
they do a ton
is
of RPO,
not mobile,
like that just
I agree. Which is from an entertainment standpoint, that's all we can ask for. But I think if you want the Niners to win, which most people listening do, it could be difficult in the sense of it could just turn into a shootout, which the Niners are built to play in a shootout. They can score. We've seen it happen. I just think when that happens, you get a Saints game. You get, I'm trying to think, the Rams game, where it's just going back and forth, and you're just holding on for dear life. The Niners have been a little lucky this year, right? They've had a lot of games where it was just, we are going to beat the living piss out of you. And our fans are going to throw a party in the stadium. Kyle's going to be high-fiving. Kittle's going to be chest-bumping. And it's going to be sweet. And it is fun. It feels a little Warriors-like, right? When they really started humming. Like, this is such a joke. It's so fun. We're not watching Alabama play Fresno State, even though a couple years ago I think they played them well. We're watching two of the highest, you know, we would watch the Warriors do it to the best teams. We watched the Niners do it to the Packers twice. And you say what you want about the Packers. I don't think they're anywhere close to as good as the Chiefs. They did win 14 games. The Niners' combined score was like a 40-point different. That is not normal, guy. It's just not. And that's what else makes me a little nervous is just a team that's had so many blowouts and everything go relatively perfect. I guess not that they haven't had adversity in games and even in the season, because they have. And they've actually had adversity when you think about it. They've had injuries. They had Seattle game. That final game was the most insane game I think we've ever seen. But I guess part of it is the two playoff games. You just live it in recent memory, right? Have been almost too easy for playoff standards. You agree with that? Like, at least the Chiefs can go, yeah, we ended up winning both games by, you know, 20-plus, but there were points in both games where, like, shit, our backs. The Texans game, they were down 24-0. At least for a moment. The whole stadium, Patrick Mahomes can say what he wants, had to think, is this our worst nightmare? There was no point in any of the game where you thought that. Like, oh, Jimmy just threw a pick to Kendricks, but they were up, I think, 10-7. So it wasn't like they were down 17-10. They were always up. They were always up. And even the moment when Diggs scored the touchdown, you went, well, you'll just yank Akello out of the game. And that's what happened. You know, that's the Niners always have these other pitches. I'll just pull Weatherspoon, put Mosley in, right? You know, just yank. He's not feeling it today. Get the pitcher out. And they bring in the other guy. And then you bring in the other guy, and it turns out, well, it's basically Hader Then Mariano, then Wetland. That's like what the Niners do. Then all of a sudden it's just Blowout City and you're just, we're going to the championship game. And then, oh, we're playing the Packers. It's going to look different. It's going to look different. Halftime, it's 23-0. You're like, oh, didn't look different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every time they have been down in games, they always battle back. That's why I don't, like, the Niners aren't ever going to get their ass kicked. You wouldn't think.
I don't think, like, if the Chiefs win this game, it's about Mahomes and Andy, because I don't think you separate them. The Niners, you can have it be a Kyle Shanahan game, but it's not a Garoppolo game, right? So if the Niners win the game, the question is this. Is it about the Niners defense, or is it about Kyle Shanahan slash whichever part of the offense? And this goes back to what we discussed on the last podcast about the over-under at 54.5, why we both took the over. I have a hard time. The hardest scenario I have in seeing, if we put all the different scenario combinations together, would be the Niners defense shuts down the Chiefs offense. I have a hard time seeing that. So if the 49ers win the game, then I think it's going to be, first of all, Garoppolo cannot make a mistake. This goes back to why I think the margins are just thin. I don't think he can have a pick. He can't have a fumble that he loses in the red zone, whatever. But if the 49ers win this game, I think it's just a total Shanahan game. I think it's Shanahan looked like an absolute genius, because Shanahan's going up against Andy and he's going up against Mahomes. So he's going up against the guy that can scheme crazy shit, but he's also going up against a guy that can do stuff totally out of the scheme. And there's nothing you can do about that. I don't think there's anything Robert Saleh or Nick Bosa. I just don't know. I'm not saying they can't get stops or that the Niners defense is going to get run over. I don't think that. But I just think the Niners offense is going to have to. I just think their margin is going to be thin. I think they just have to make play after play after play after play. And so that's a Kyle game. That's a Shanahan game.
And he's proven right. Every step of the way this year, he has the pitches.
I'm going to ride with him again, but I'm uneasy.
It is a trick play game, too, and that's where I'm always fascinated in a Super Bowl. When do you bust out a double pass? Because remember in the Saints game, it was 20-7, and you're like, whoa, they are like a Jimmy pick, a fumble away from this being 35-7 fast. And then what does Kyle do? Double pass, and he hits it. You're like, whoa. Or maybe it was 14-7, he did that, and then, or it was 14-0, I can't even remember the score. Maybe the double pass was first and the Jimmy deep bomb was later, or vice versa. But this is a game, to me, the moment you just start like, oh, we're backs against the ropes, you flip the switch. Okay, run the flea flicker, or run whatever your trick play is that you think works against that defense. And that's where I think, that's to me what makes this game really fun, is you got multiple coaches that, kind of to whip your you-know-what out and just show the country, right? But the Josh McDaniels does it all the time. Now, part of it is Bill busts him out in playoff games just because of the magnitude of them, and I think they got extra time to prepare. I think Kyle and Andy just, not that Josh doesn't, but just like kind of showing how smart they are sometimes. It naturally comes out when you're just calling plays if you're just good at it. And that's where I think you might get like, whoa, what the hell? You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that we're going to get something special play-wise between those two guys.
Yeah. What do you think the first quarter score of this game is?
Well, usually in a game that you think is going to be high scoring, the first quarter score is 0-0. To me, it's either 0-0 or like 17-14. I don't really see... I have a hard time just seeing it be kind of, it's just a 6-3 game.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't see that either.
Because I do think that both teams are going to come out so amped up.
I think one of the two of them scores a touchdown on their first drive, though.
That's why I would lean like 14-14.
I love your 0-0 idea, though, because that feels about the curveball that we deserve.
Yeah, just kind of sloppy, maybe some drops. Just guys are so amped. This does feel like a heavyweight fight. Where is this? This has been one of the most boring Super Bowl weeks ever. Can we dive into that? I mean,
yeah.
In the sense of there is nothing going on in the terms of no shit talking back and forth, No controversies, no arrests. I talked to someone today that told me their first Super Bowl was 1998 in Miami. And I said, oh, who was, what was that game again? And they're like, oh, it was Broncos Atlanta. I'm like, oh, that was, you're telling me that Eugene Robinson, the man of the year in South Beach, went to pick up a hooker the night before the game?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, finish.
That happened.
Yeah.
Now, that did happen, I think, the night before the game, or maybe two nights before the game. But we haven't got...
With his family back at the hotel.
Full family, kids, wife, hotel. Guy, defending man of the year. I think he had won it the year before. Maybe he had won it that year. Either way, had to be the worst night of the guy's life. And turns out exposed him. Because to me, you don't just... Yeah, just listen, man. I was super nervous, so I went looking for a hooker. It doesn't add up. Like, yeah, are you kind of fooling some people? Like, I'm pretty confident.
It was
like,
my
yeah,
first time, I swear.
I've never got a hooker before. So you're telling me the night before the Super Bowl, anxiety got to you, you're with your wife and your three kids, and you go get a hooker? I don't believe you, man. I just do not believe you. Like, I feel pretty good about, you know what? Everything I've read, everything that's been said over the years from his teammates, Eli Manning, good guy, right? Eli Manning, former man of the year, feels like a super high level good guy. You get something like Eugene Robinson, you just never know. We haven't had anything like that. I mean, it's just so I can't take Frank Clark that seriously, and I don't know if you agree, that does not feel like a controversy. Like, it's just a controversy-less game, which sucks if you do what we do. I would just like a little juice, one thing said. You know, back in the day, like when we were growing up, it felt like there was a lot more animosity between coaches, college and pro, in all sports. You're just like, whoa, those two guys hate each other. It's just not much of that going on anymore. Especially with these two guys. Like, oh yeah, Belichick likes Kyle. Kyle made LaFleur. McVay and Kyle are buddies. Like, who is Kyle not friends with? Like, everyone just kind of thinks Kyle. Andy Reid, most universally respected guy in like sports history. Like, you know, having Belichick and, like, one other asshole is not the worst Super Bowl ever, right? Sometimes that helps. Like, everyone hates this guy. Have you read one thing that's like, you know, if no one will say it, I will. Andy's a bad guy. Like, you could Google it, you wouldn't even be able to find anything.
No, in the world where, you know what I like to say is, if you're looking for any opinion, you can find it on Twitter. Like, I hate when people retweet something, put a shitty opinion from somebody without many followers through a megaphone just to smack down the bad opinion. I can't believe somebody. Yeah, every opinion you can find on Twitter, congrats on, like, you know, putting somebody on a pedestal just to kick them off it when no one shares their opinion. But that legitimately, you can't find that opinion, even on the internet, even on Twitter. You're right. Frank Clark, I mean, I'm going to be mic'd up. I'll save my talking for the game. No, again, nobody cares. Jimmy, I mean... nothing. Mahomes, lovable. Kittle and Kelsey? I mean, no one really even tried to make that a thing.
Well, because I think Kittle called him like the best tight end in the league.
Right. But I mean,
kind of
like,
more friendly.
But there's not even any, like, I don't know. I haven't even felt the buildup on that just head to head competition because there's no head to head.
Well, Kittle's not really a shit talker.
But I don't even mean the shit talking. I just mean. Who's the best? Let's debate it for 3 hours.
It's like, well, one guy's a first-team All-Pro, one guy's a second-team All-Pro. Kel's like, yeah, I won it last year. I just want to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's just, I just want to win the Super Bowl. We're hoping we win the Super Bowl. They got a good team. It's just, maybe. It is very boring, guy. It's been a boring week of sensational headlines.
If you took somebody who didn't know anything about the Super Bowl and just dropped them in here, they wouldn't understand why you wait an extra week to play this game. They'd be like, for what? What's all the buildup? You telling me Radio Row's not that hot on the block this year?
No, it's just.
But I mean, we thought that when we've been telling people since we did it, it's nothing special.
Yeah, it's a little overrated. But if you're a fan, it is cool to go.
Unless you're hanging out in the Cowherd VIP room.
All the famous players are around. That is the one cool thing. Like, for the fans staying there, just a lot of players are walking around. Ocho Cinco, Victor Cruz, those are countless players. I do think the coaches in the NFL play a huge role. Of stars, right? They are very famous. And Belichick being in the Super Bowl all the time, everyone has an opinion on him. Guy, if I hear one more person ask Kyle Shanahan about 28-3, I'm going to fucking throw my mic against this wall. but I wouldn't because then I'd have to pay incidentals. But I'll throw it against the ground or the bed. It's just, I what else can you ask him? Yeah, they lost 28-3. We know it. We saw it. It happened. He's talked about it 10 million times for 3 years. It's over and done with. Nothing you can do. There's no going back and changing it. The Falcons are never going to win the Super Bowl. I actually saw Arthur Blank walking around today.
Wearing a suit? Pocket square?
Yeah, look good. Look good. It's just 28-3. We get it. And as Kyle always says, yeah, it's just a couple plays. Like, you didn't need to look in the mirror and change your whole philosophy. No, we were up 28-3 on Bill Belichick in the third quarter. Like, just a couple other plays, we're good. Like, nothing else he can say about it. Like, it's kind of a cool story. Back then, once he started rehabbing and it was clear he was an elite coach, that would be one thing if they do win that story. Does that just die? That's one story I can't take. But the problem is either Andy can't win the big one or Kyle 28-3 blew another one. One of those is not going to die. I'm just tired of these stories.
That's why
I feel like
game.
These stories are kind of holding on. That's the great part about the Patriots. There's always a new curveball with them. Always. They were the gift that kept on giving because it was always just, God damn, this is crazy. You know, and they don't even say shit. That's the thing with them. Their players don't say a word. Yet there's always just an overlying thing where everyone has an opinion, a lot of hate. And when there's a lot of hate, that's a good thing. Is there a lot of hate in the Super Bowl?
Like, no, John. Like, I don't even know who the fans can hate.
Well, who hates the Chiefs? The Raiders. I mean, they're
I know what you're about to say.
Who hates the Niners?
There's one man who hates both the Chiefs and the Niners for a long time.
Who's that?
Well, I guess he doesn't hate the Niners anymore.
Mark Davis?
Greg Papa.
Yeah, I mean,
he was on the Three and Out podcast. Did you address this touchy subject with him?
Well, what happened was, as I was walking, I'm like, I need to do a podcast. I have nothing to say. I had nothing. And then I see him. I'm like, maybe I get 15 minutes. So we just started talking, and we went for 40 minutes. I'm like, I just did my
not
fucking
not
podcast.
Not shocking, yeah.
I did 5-minute intro, Greg Papa, and that was it.
Like, boy.
Thank God.
That's
I have
straight
nothing.
Radio row stuff right there.
There's nothing to say. I don't have any takes. And even he had a good line. He's like, you know what? For the first time, he's like, obviously Derek would always come to Raider games, and my boys liked football. He's like, my wife and daughters would never wanted to be associated with the Raiders. I'm like, yeah, no shit, Greg. He's like, guess what? They love the Niners now. I'm like, yeah. You know why? Because the Niners are fun. Because the Niners are kind of like the Warriors. Now he's like, a big element is Jimmy. I'm like, yeah, well, they've had Montana. Steve Young was a good-looking guy. Like, it's part of the Niners brand. They're hip. A lot of women like the Niners. They have a big, huge fan base. They're just cool. The Chiefs, a little different, I guess, for us in California, but they've always just felt like just like the Cleveland Indians, or just like a solid Midwest team. Just the Kansas City Royals, the Kansas basketball. I watch them. You know, just part of my life as a sports fan. No, I never had an opinion one way or the other on them. They don't generate much intense feel for me, right? Like the Cowboys, they generate emotion. I'm just tired of the Cowboys. Then I'll kind of like the Cowboys, but I'm always having an opinion on them. The Niners, part of it, and we were talking before the podcast, you and I have been talking about the Niners now since we got a radio show from Harbaugh up until this point. There's not a subject that we haven't talked about, but this year, with them being good, was really fun. But for the last couple of weeks, it has been kind of boring because not much has happened inside the greatness. I wouldn't have minded, like, LaFleur turned in Jimmy Garoppolo for special spikes or something. Just give me a little controversy. You know, just give me something. We got nothing. But the one thing I hope, if the Niners win the Super Bowl, I'm going to need something in the offseason. I'm going to need, like, whoa! They traded Eric Armstead, and then they badmouthed him to, like, Barros on the way out or something. Like, just give me something. Because it can't be sunshine and rainbows the whole time. Because even Belichick, remember, it would be like they won a Super Bowl finally for the first time in, like, franchise history. And then, like, a year later, he realized, like, God, we get better. He signs Corey Dillon, which was, like, the Kareem Hunt of the time. So right off the bat, they're like, God damn, Belichick's kind of crazy. And then they won it again. And then they had a winning streak. They just always had sweet controversies. I feel like if you told me the Niners and Chiefs are the two top teams in the league for the next 5 years, it would be relatively boring. Now, they'd be good football, and I like that, and I do enjoy that. But if you talk about a team every day, you do need a little juice, and that's the one thing that makes me a little nervous about Kyle. Thank God he's a really good coach, and his teams are good, because that does matter. I don't think he's going to ever, because they're not going to get and acquire many shitheads. That is the one thing with the Chiefs. They're just going to have a little more characters with Veach and Andy. Kyle's not going to have many Marcus Peters on the squad. That's just not going to be their deal. Like, they might have a Richard Sherman, but even Richard at this point, what is he? I mean, he's just kind of Richard Sherman, right? It's not like we'd never seen it before, but now it's when he talks, everyone kind of knows what to expect. He's got a big personality. How often does he? He's not dumb. He's not taking shots at opponents really or anymore.
He just did it. He legitimately just saved it for people he hated. He doesn't hate anybody here, I guess.
But it felt like he hated a lot of people back then, right?
It's true. Yeah.
You know, I heard someone tweeted out a video of Kobe and Jordan, and it was like a mix of all the conversations over the years, and one of them, Steve Kerr, must have gone on First Take like 10 years ago with Stephen A. and Skip, and they're like, Michael or Kobe? And Steve's response, like, are we really doing this, guys? Can't they both just be great players? I really have to argue one of them. And all you hear in the background, you don't see the video. You just see it's like a montage with the audio in the back. Mm-hmm. And Skip's like, yes, we're really doing it. Like, Skip was ready to argue it. And I think Steve might have hung up. I kind of remembered it being like a moment for First Take. But it's just like Jimmy or Mahomes. Like, Mahomes? Andy or Kyle. If we wanted to do a First Take argument, we could do an Andy or Kyle legitimate argument. But other than that, there's not much. Like, D Ford or Frank Clark. Like, yeah, Frank, you're better. You're a better player. You know, the whole league knows that. You're better. Now, D's good too. You know, you got traded for a first, right value. D got traded for a late second. Ideally, probably would have been a third, but he's a good player. You know, there's not much. I feel like always with the Patriots Super Bowls, and we've had about 20 of them the last, there was always just crazy storylines, right? Did we get spoiled for like a 5-year run of just madness? I mean, guy, they came to the Super Bowl one time fresh off Deflategate. It was nuts. I remember watching a Belichick press conference. Remember Kraft got off the plane and did a press conference, kind of calling out like the league and this bullshit. It was like, God, this is nuts. This has been the opposite of like, is anything going to happen? And the answer is no. Do you know the Chiefs? I might go meet Veach tomorrow morning. Are 45 minutes away? I might actually not go.
I only know that 'cause you told me.
They are not even close. Like the Niners, I think, are 15 minutes away in downtown Miami. Like, they could, you know, if the players wanted to. The Chiefs are a fucking long way away. A 40-minute Uber ride. Because my buddy, I asked him if he wanted to go out tonight. He's like, we're going to staff dinner. He's like, yeah, it's a 40-minute Uber ride. I'm like, well, actually, you're coming toward me. But they're deep. I wonder if they got first pick because they were the home team.
You think there's only two possibilities for the hotel? I would guess. Yeah, maybe there are.
You think they give you like five, like which ones you want?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe. I mean,
how would you do that? How would you just have five ready?
Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, maybe. You know, just get a pick.
One thing I've noticed, I've gone to lunch. First night I went to dinner solo, and then I went to lunch solo today. And if you just keep your ears open, you'll just kind of hear like, damn, this is – because the entire league sends us different employees here. I've heard multiple team employees kind of talking about players and coaches. I was like, you're being pretty loud. How the fuck do you know who I am? Like, luckily, I think I'm people not a like scumbag. That. You think so?
I think some people do, yes. They like the people around them to hear what they're saying.
Actually, you're probably dead on because I thought multiple times with the chick the first night, like, you do realize I'm right here. I could be, I almost said the owner's name, like the cousin. I don't want to screw her. But she was openly talking about how the offensive coordinator had said something off the record to a reporter, and then the reporter had tweeted it, and the head coach got mad, and the court, but it was just pretty famous organization guy. And I was like, Jesus. Like, there's only three of us in this restaurant, you two and me, two seats away from you at the bar, and you're just openly talking. These are pretty famous people. This isn't like, you know, this new startup called called Ham Radio. It's got these seven people no one would know about. It's you're a multiple time Super Bowl champion organization. I know the names you're saying. If there are 10, it's crazy. You're right. She had to want me to hear it. She didn't even look my way.
Not like, even you. Right, just I think people like people to know that they got some shit that they know. Like, oh, like, what's that? Who is that person? What do they know? Right? Like, who they? People want you to think, who is that?
Who I'm is powerful.
Yeah. By the way, the Hunt's $15 million Napa home is up for sale, John. So,
Kareem or the Lamar?
Oh, sorry, $20 million. The ownership group.
You think they're doing pretty well?
And maybe they're selling it because they got to get ready to pay Mahomes.
You're saying that Clark Hunt has a $15 million home in Napa, California?
No, sorry, $20 million. Napa Valley Ranch, owned by his mom, Norma.
I wonder what they purchased that for.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The price is down. They asked 20 in June. Now they're asking 15. That's a big slash.
God, yeah. Think of what that slash, what it could buy for me and you. You know, just take five off the top.
The only house I need, yeah.
Would it buy you a nice house though?
Yeah, I could make $5 million work, I think.
But you'd actually have to save a little bit because if you bought like a $3 million home, you know the property.
Gotta pay the taxes. I know. I would just work. Cheap. I could pay the taxes over the course of a year. I could work for the taxes.
So if you just paid off the home and you just work for the taxes and you'd be like, well, yeah. I'm just working for my taxes.
Yeah.
What do you work for? The rent? Mortgage? No, house paid off. I just work to pay property taxes. Break even.
And the water bill. By the way, to your Steve Kerr story, if I could name drop this, I did ask Bill Walton the other day. I said, Bill, is there such a thing as a perfect song? And he said, you know, I don't think of songs that way. I enjoy every song for what it is. And I said, yeah, but if you had to hear one song, what you can only hear one song, what would the song be? I don't think of any. I don't like to rank things. It's like, you know, it's probably a good way to just appreciate whatever it is for whatever it is.
Did you go to dinner with Bill Walton?
Yeah, this was on the this when he was driving me back to the hotel.
So just you called a game with Bill Walton.
That's right.
And then just the two of you guys went to dinner.
That's right. We went to the
just you
didn't
and Bill
I tell
Walton
the story the other day.
I don't think you did.
Oh, I thought I did.
Maybe you did on radio.
Maybe I did on radio. Yeah, that's right. So the owner met us in the parking lot of the restaurant.
Where were you?
Salt Lake City.
Okay, so he has a special spot.
He's got a spot. And then walked us through the kitchen, Godfather style. Like, the kitchen. Like, people are working. Through a little back door and to a table that was already set up.
Do you realize where, when you're super famous, how you can feel more important?
Yeah, I do realize it.
I mean, had you ever walked through a kitchen non your own or your parents before in your life to get to a seat?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not on purpose. It
feels like that only happens in the movies, but it also happens to real famous people.
It's just, but also it's like, it's just a function thing. Like you can't walk through a restaurant and not get stopped for 17 photos. And he stopped for photos of the parking lot after he stopped. Everybody that wanted a photo got a photo, but.
What'd you guys talk about?
He just asked a lot of questions.
Does he like you?
Seemed like it. I mean, somebody told me afterwards, like, oh, you got the dinner invite.
Did he say anything like, I think you're pretty talented? Or
He didn't even want to, which I really appreciate this, because 9 out of 10 broadcasters want to like analyze the game you just did. It was over. Like, he didn't even care that we had just done a game. It was done with. It was in the past.
You guys talk about the Warriors or anything?
The Kings? No, not really.
What about the Warriors?
We did not talk about the Warriors, no.
So no Luke? You guys talk basketball or more just life?
No, he didn't. We talked a little basketball, but he just wanted
your bio?
Wanted a lot of bio information.
He give you any life lessons on your way out?
Yeah, don't rank songs.
I mean, seriously. I mean, was he
No,
like
but seriously, I like. Don't.
What'd he order? What'd you order?
he got a lot of food. I don't remember what he ordered. I got the secret was I didn't tell him this, but last time I went to this restaurant I got violently ill, so I stuck to non-meat. I got a, you know, bean and cheese enchiladas. A lot of he was very specific about the kind of, I want the good chips with the guacamole, the crunchy ones with the extra red spice on them, not the ones you just bring to the table. So he insisted on paying, obviously. Or maybe not, obviously. I don't know.
Would you say your experience went with him easier than you thought? Were you pretty nervous going in?
Yeah. You know why? Because I knew that people watch the game the way I would watch the game, which is like, let's see if this dude can hang with Bill, you know?
So did he fluster you at any moments?
No. No, I felt pretty good about
that. Would you say he's a pro, like he'll let you do the calls?
Yes. Yes, he understands why everybody's there.
Whenever I'm watching him, people give a hard time. Like, he messes with the people during the flow, but in big plays, he goes quiet.
Yeah, or kinda. He just reacts the way that, like, I went back and watched Kobe's final game, UB Brown was just losing his mind during that game, and it just felt right, you know? He was like, oh, my God! You know, like, because it was crazy. That's what everybody was doing. It was Hubie and Tirico. I watched, like, the 9-minute cut-up of that game.
You asked him about Larry Bird or the Celtics?
No, I was telling my mom about it, and she's like, you know, I bet he is so tired of being asked questions. He's probably been asked every question in the book. And
so he just asks questions, so he can't ask him questions.
But that's what I thought, but no, I don't think it is that, because he's, like, really engaged.
He's inquisitive.
He's very inquisitive, and he can't, you know, like, if he's talking, then he doesn't learn anything. I'm like, what about me? I want to learn something.
So did you learn anything?
Yeah.
Well, give us a nugget.
But it was just like his life story stuff. It wasn't necessarily like, you know, how Dr. Buss used to, you know, wasn't Pat Riley. It wasn't that kind of thing.
God damn it. If your son doesn't figure out how to use Buddy, we're going to have issues. Buddy. I don't blame you. I would have got rid of Buddy, too.
All right. Before we move on, John, we'll tell you this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Now or never when it comes to football. Super Bowl 54, and this is your turn, your last turn, your last chance to play fantasy football until next season with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. All you do, John, it's simple. You just draft 6 players from Super Bowl 54, and you let it ride.
Guys, stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using the code HAM will receive a free shot at $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a free shot at $1 million. Get in on Super Bowl 54 action. Download the DraftKings app now and enter the promo code HAM during signup. For a limited time, all new users will get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. That's code HAM. Get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings.
Love it. Minimum $5
required.
Deposit required. Yep. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Podcast also brought to you by ExpressVPN. Right now, you are in a hotel. You are in Radio Row. You are exposed. No, you're not, because you got ExpressVPN.com/ham. Protects you, encrypts your data, keeps it safe from hackers. ExpressVPN 24/7. That's expressvpn.com/ham.
Why know this? NBA offers League Pass, Major League Baseball, League Pass coming out. Depending on where you are, if you live in the U.S. or Canada, it doesn't let you watch all the games. So if you fire up ExpressVPN, for example, and you use it to change your location to a different country, outthink the masses, you can buy and use the League Pass, and boom, no blackouts. How do you beat that, guy? So enjoy all the games, NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever you specifically want to watch because of ExpressVPN. Like you said, I'm in a hotel right now. I got ExpressVPN kicked on because I got Haberman's information. I got all my information. People could steal our shit, guy. They could be hacking into your computer through my computer. Who knows what these hackers can do? They're talented. And that's where our friends at ExpressVPN come in. Use our special link today to get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/ham. Especially if you travel a lot. Sign up right now for any League Passes. Get a huge discount. That's expressvpn.com/ham for 3 months free, 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/ham to learn more.
That's EXPRESSVPN.com/ham. All right. You know, we were laughing earlier at the guy who does like sports talk impressions, doing a pretty funny, just the tempo of his Colin impression was pretty funny. The cadence.
It was good.
And it got us thinking about the club that Mahomes is in, the club that Jimmy Garoppolo could be in. I think it's better for the NFL, if I were really to overanalyze maybe the results of the Super Bowl. The more star quarterbacks you have and the more star coaches you have, the more kind of stars you can pit against each other, that's good. So with that in mind, I think it's better for the NFL if the 49ers win the Super Bowl, because Mahomes is already a top-tier superstar. If Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, then he maintains his status as a top-tier superstar. And Jimmy Garoppolo is not. But if Jimmy Garoppolo wins a ring, now he is a top-tier superstar in terms of just how you can brand him and promote him. Now, you could argue long-term you want a guy to replace Brady and somebody else to have five Super Bowls, whatever. But if we just made a club, John, because that was part of the imitation, it was like, these guys are in a club. So if we just made a club, what do you think? We call it Club Russ? Guys Russell Wilson's age and younger in the NFL?
Okay.
Who's in Club Russ? All right, so we're taking out Brady. We're taking out Rivers. We're taking out Breeze.
Rodgers.
Yeah. Rodgers. Just like the future faces of the NFL. Even though we argued the other day, I don't think Russ has been the face, but whatever, he's a face. Who's in Club Russ right now? Like the different levels of Club Russ.
Well, I would say that Mahomes has the legit VIP pass. He can walk right through the line. The hottest woman in the world, Mahomes is passing right now. Then I think you got guys that if the most Cindy Crawford or Inner Prime or whoever you think's gorgeous. That's just always my go-to.
Did you see the Cindy Crawford Kobe Bryant video?
I've seen it before. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, from like Kobe was, you know, young.
Yeah,
19.
Cindy's actually daughter, who I think is like 20 or 21, is an up-and-coming star as well. Then I think you get a group of like three or four guys that a couple babes come in, and then you let them in. They're not waiting in line. That would be Deshaun Watson. National champion, playoff guy in Wentz, right? His talent is immense. I think Dak statistically has had a really good 4 years. Been in the playoffs a couple times. This year didn't quite feel like his fault. I think he's established himself as a pretty good player. Then it gets kind of dicey, right? I mean, I think we could make arguments for Jimmy, but he's just done it 1 year. I would say Carr's not in that club anymore. I would say Trubisky, no chance.
Goff?
Yeah, I'd say Goff had a good argument, but do you feel like he's still around now?
No, I think he was in, but not anymore.
Yeah, so now he's waiting in line. Jameis, no. Cam, who even knows? Danny Dimes, no chance. Cousins, no.
Kyler?
I think he ends up getting in. Like, he can come kick it, but it's going to take him a minute. Baker, it's like, bro, you go hang out somewhere else. Lamar. Oh, I forgot Lamar. Lamar, you win the MVP, you get to go in with Deshaun and Wentz, right? After this year?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the number one seed. He's kicking everyone's ass. And he's such a good guy. I think people would like him. People would want Lamar in. So I think Lamar would go in with that group, Deshaun and Carson. Then I just think it's – I think Jimmy has had moments – There is just this question mark is, can he back it up? I think he can, right? I'm not even talking about this game. I'm just talking about next season and have a career. But we've seen a lot. Again, we see Jared Goff, like, but Jimmy's different than Jared Goff because he can move. I think, yeah, Jimmy's right behind kind of the second wave group. He might lead the next wave. Like, Dak's just accomplished more. Now, if Jimmy wins the Super Bowl, he's accomplished more. When I say Dak's accomplished more, I mean – he's never been this far in the playoffs, but he's gone to the playoffs multiple times. He's been a starting quarterback for a long period of time. Like, part of Jimmy is going to be, can you be a starting quarterback on a team that goes to the playoffs 3 straight years? Like, Deshaun can, right? Wentz now has made the playoffs basically 3 years. It's not all been him. I mean, Foles helped him. But this year, Wentz did it, and 2 years ago, Wentz got him there. Right? Yeah. He got him the one seed, put him in the position. I think it gets complicated. I think it's hard. There's just a lot of unknown with these guys. That's what makes Mahomes so unique, right? Is he's so young. yet he feels just so accomplished. And it feels like it's him.
Do you think there's a difference from just the NFL's future in terms of having just the big-time, marketable NFL quarterback stars in Jimmy Garoppolo winning or in Patrick Mahomes winning?
You're saying for the league?
Yeah, just the big picture of the NFL.
I'm saying
having the next wave of stars.
Yeah, I would say it'd be pretty important for Mahomes to win. Because if Mahomes, for the league, if you say Brady's got a year left, Breeze about to retire, you have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So then you got Mahomes and kind of Russell are just your two best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
And Rodgers. And then you got, because you got Super Bowl winners. To me, there's something to that.
You're probably right. I mean, my argument was Patrick's so big that he's not bigger Monday than if he wins the Super Bowl. And we could even argue that. But even if you were to accept that premise, I think to your point, he is bigger opening Thursday if he's a Super Bowl champ. He is bigger in 2 years if he's a Super Bowl champ. Like, at some point he's going to need that. At some point he's going to need a Super Bowl to be the guy that is ultimately propped up as heir apparent to Brady. So, yeah. You're right over there?
Yeah, I just had to my computer's dying, so I had to plug it in.
I thought you grabbed the trash can. I'm like, he's not about to throw up, is he?
No, my backpack was just kind of far away, so I had to unplug you.
So anyway, the point I was making was,
Don't you think it's important for that, or not important, because Mahomes is so good at it's not going to change viewership, and like he's clearly the guy in terms of watching him. But you would agree, the hype on him is not hype anymore. It's just he's a superstar, and he's already kind of that. But when you are validated with an early championship, it changes your life. I mean, we talked a lot about Kobe. What really made Kobe a star, right, was that him and Shaq won those championships early. Now, he won championships. But, like, the moment Steph and Klay won that ring, it was like they're not just all-star players. Yeah. They're elite legends. They're legends. And that's what it would feel like Mahomes is, a legend. And I as a fan of the game, I wish, you know, Mahomes would have done this last year against the Rams and the Niners could do this year against, like, the Ravens, so I wouldn't even have to be in this position. But I do enjoy superstars being made, right? That's what you like as a kid. That's what you like as you get older. You like watching the best guy, a champion. Because wouldn't you agree, Mahomes a championship player?
Yeah.
Like it's pretty clear.
Yep.
But, you know, if we were doing Skip Bayless.
Just like I think Andy Reid's a championship coach.
But then, you know, if you were Skip and I was Shannon, I'd be like, well, it's bullshit. You got to be a champion. You got to win a championship. You can't be. I'm more like dog.
And how do you argue?
You can't be a champion without a championship.
And how do you argue with that?
You don't.
Because it's true. It's just a logical argument.
But you'd be like.
But it's like I knew LeBron could win a championship before LeBron won a championship, right?
So you're telling me that Flacco's better than Mahomes? No. Now, you're right. It always depends. You always say this, how it looks. I think Mahomes had so many moments. The moments got to not be too big. That's where I think back to Jimmy. And we've been talking about this really all week and all season. He can have moments where you're like, whoa. Looks like a lot's going on there for old Jimbo. Right?
Yeah, it's true. As a big fan, it's true.
Like, I don't ever think that about Mahomes. And that's why Mahomes is a dramatically better player. When you watch Jimmy, you go, whoa, slow down there, Jimmy. Come on, Jimmy, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
And that's where Kyle goes, another run, and another run. And you just run the ball.
He goes, use check in the flat, please. Kittle for 7 yards.
That's where the Niners, for a young quarterback, would Jimmy, now you could say those first 6 games or 5 games that he started in 2017 were so awesome, but it's so much easier when you're kind of learning to play the position when you have a sweet running game and a tight end. The tight end's close to you, and the running game you just hand off. It really makes the transition easier to play. So Jimmy's lucky that way. Like, you could argue, Patrick Mahomes, he was just thrown into the fire. Now, he has great weapons, but they got to throw deep. It's like, what are you doing, Mahomes? We're throwing go routes. Throwing posts, we're throwing deep comebacks. That's what we throw. Now you could say, well, they're throwing that because he can do it, but it's clear when you watch him do it, they're built to do that. So it's they had the same players with Alex. They played differently. So I think that when your quarterback can carry you, it really does change your franchise. It makes everything. Like, if you put Jimmy Garoppolo on this Chiefs team or the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
No.
If you put Patrick Mahomes on the Niners, would the Niners have lost a game?
They'd be 8.5-point favorites against whoever they're playing in the Super Bowl. Maybe more.
What would their record be? Fully healthy all season, Patrick Mahomes. 15-1?
Yeah.
Maybe he had one clunker. Because they went 13-3 with Jimmy.
You know, he got hurt.
Yeah, I'm saying if he was healthy all season and just playing like normal, how would they be stopped? Now I can see Kyle like, stop throwing it behind your head. You know, stop doing the no-look passes. And Andy probably says that too, but he's like, he lives with it.
All right, John, before we get to some headlines, let's just tell the people that this podcast is also brought to you by, and this is another big win for the Super Bowl, mybookie.ag, promo code HAM, and the number one. Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM, and the number one. At mybookie.ag, when you use the promo code HAM, they will match your first deposit 50% up to $1,000. They've got the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer service. If you don't like football, you probably haven't made it this far on the podcast, but you can also bet on the NBA and the Premier League, etc. And we appreciate you listening just for our personalities. And the other part of it is if you do accept the bonus, you do have to bet that bonus. But in any event, promo code HAMP1.
Waste Management Open as well this weekend in Arizona. Well, the game is still 1.5, as it's been for 2 weeks. Over-under, 55.5. I think that went up. Was it 54.5 yesterday? I think so. 55, it's gone up a point, guy.
It was. Oh, wow.
So
maybe after we release that podcast.
Maybe it is. So bet on the game. I kind of like the over, but it seems like some sharps are coming in on the over. 55.5, mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. Bet the Super Bowl. Bet whatever you want to gamble. If you're not gambling, you're crazy because gambling is really fun. Even if you lose, it's still kind of fun because you're on the edge of your seat. But you're not going to lose if you take the Chiefs Niners. I don't even know. Who are you going to bet on? I don't know.
This might be a game where the props feel a little more comfortable to you than the actual game.
I would agree. I would 1,000,000% agree.
Kittle to score the first touchdown.
Yeah, who's going to be the Super Bowl MVP? I like the Honey Badger as my sleeper. If you like the Chiefs, you take Mahomes. If you like the Niners, it's a tough one. I mean, you could probably go 3 or 4 guys. If you like the Niners, it's going to be a difficult one to pick because it could be, if I told you Fred Warner had 10 tackles and a pick 6, you know, there usually is every other year like, whoa, he won the Super Bowl MVP? Remember the 1 year Edelman was like, God, Edelman is racking up a lot of catches. He's going to win the MVP. And then he had the game-winning catch. He's like, he was the MVP. And you would have been like, well, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, Brady's going to be the MVP. No, Edelman was the MVP. So you just, if you like the team, I think we've come to the conclusion, right? We're hard pressed if the Chiefs win to not take Mahomes. It just, that'd be a huge upset.
I'll be, like you said, we've gone through it. Could it be Honey Badger, et cetera? The game that they win without him being the MVP, that's the game they lose, actually.
Honestly, if you told me the Niners win, I would say that Jimmy was like 50-50 at best. Now, if you won it, it'd be big for the conversations. Maybe, I don't know what we talk about anymore, because there wouldn't be much controversy with him. Because he couldn't win the MVP without probably 3 or 4 touchdowns, right?
Right.
Because you don't just throw one touchdown, even if it's the game-winning drive and you're the MVP, probably. Unless it's a super low-scoring game. But then if it's a super low-scoring game, you would imagine there'd be some sacks. Maybe Nick Bosa had 3 sacks. So that's, I would say the non-Jimmy for the Niners would be Bosa. I could just see Warner having an incredible box score, right? Just a ton of tackles. If Sherman were to have a pick 6, just given that he's Richard Sherman, and then, you know, one of the 17 running backs Kyle's used over the years. You know, you think it's going to be Mostert because he just had 350 yards.
What if you're saying Jeff – what are the odds on Jeff Wilson Super Bowl MVP? Is he on the trip?
Remember the one game like 3 weeks into the season?
Touchdowns.
It was like, what is going on? I'm
John,
playing Brady in daily fantasy.
Oh my God, I dropped Alyssa's fantasy team. I made like 7 moves to get Jeff Wilson on the team.
And it was too late?
Absolute. No, I got him. It was an absolute disaster. He didn't touch the ball for the rest of the year.
Oh, you're saying you got him after all the touchdowns.
After that, I was like, oh, I'm going to beat everybody to this guy.
Yeah, Kyle had you fooled.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Did you see Kittle's comment the other day about fantasy?
No, what did
he say? When he gets a tackle on a interception, he tells Jimmy to make him feel better. Hey, thanks, man. I got a tackle. And did he end up with more tackles than touchdowns or something this year? There was some fantasy element to the whole thing.
But I don't think you get any points for tackles, do you?
No, you don't. But that's the point. But like he was like, I got more tackles than
touchdowns.
Than touchdowns. Is that true? Now that I think about it, it sounds crazy.
Well, how many picks did Jimmy throw? Like 12? Kittle probably made most of the tackles because they were two Kittle.
Yeah, but
how many picks did Jimmy throw?
2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, he only had 5 touchdowns. Wow. You know, he hasn't scored a touchdown in 2020. I mean, he's only played 2 games in 2020, but he hasn't. His last touchdown was before Christmas.
Well, I mean, how many of their wide receivers? Is Kendrick Bourne the only guy to score a touchdown in the playoffs? I mean, they fucking run the ball every play. All they've done is run the ball. Mostert just had 4. The previous game, Coleman had a couple. The guy, they just run the ball.
I know.
And it's become a negative talking point if you're on one of the argument shows. They should pass! Stop running! It's like, guys, it's working. I don't care! I was like, I can't do this! How do you argue? They do.
Any headlines? What we got?
Well, did you see the Browns named Andrew Berry, the Harvard guy? Did you see the picture that they tweeted out on Andrew Berry?
Yeah, so you don't even remember that you stole my joke. That's the most offensive part.
Did you? That was your joke?
I sent you the picture and said this guy's 49, not 32.
When did you send that, though? A while ago, right?
Yeah, when it happened.
No. You did it a long time ago because there was a picture surfacing, I thought, right?
I did it when the report happened that he was going to be the next GM of the Browns.
Like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Before they initially, they officially tweeted out like this morning or yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It might have got lost in the clutter. I didn't use it publicly.
So once I don't use it publicly, it's fair game.
Because all it's been, the narrative on Andrew Berry has been the youngest general manager in NFL history, 32 years old. And I've met him one time, and he didn't look that old. That picture is, I said 47,
no, you're right.
I think, on my joke. It looks late 40s, right? He looks
old.
Oh,
my God. Yes. Maybe, who knows? My joke might not have even been as funny as yours. But the point is, I couldn't believe he was 32.
A lot of people tweeted at me and said, well, he has worked for the Browns before, so it ages you. You know? He looks really old. That picture was a terrible picture of him. If I was him, I'd ask, could we delete that and put out a new one? Because that's a bad shot. Made him look really, really old. Did you see that Alonzo Highsmith, who actually used to play for the U and now works for the Browns, or did, and Elliot Wolf. Remember a couple years ago, it was like, Elliot Wolf, he's going to be a GM. He was kind of like, it was like Chris Ballard, Elliot Wolf. This is why coaches, and me and you always hate, like, why did he take that job? And their agent and their fellow coaches or fellow GMs always tell you, you strike when the iron is hot. Because you can go from Elliot Wolf, dude's like turning down GM jobs, to like he takes a Browns job because Gutekunst gets the job. All of a sudden now, so you look, if I was an owner, I'd go, well, he was with the Packers for 15 years and they chose Gutekunst over him. Then he goes to the Browns. He's Dorsey's guy who's got kind of a weird reputation now. Then he gets blown out. Like, is his career going the other way? Like, is he going to be a road scout next year?
John, I'd forgotten he was there. That might be the one job you don't really get any credit
for getting fired.
I can't even figure out the structure of their front office. What has their front office been like the last few years?
What do you mean, with Dorsey?
Well, I just like Gutekunst. I mean, he was not Gutekunst. What's his name? Wolf was there. Highsmith was there.
Yeah, I think they were just Dorsey's right hand then.
Okay.
Because remember when they did the thing where they all watched the 5 quarterbacks, but no one was allowed to tell anybody? So it was like they all watched Darnold, Baker, Josh, Lamar. And it's weird to even include Rosen in this group. And then they were all going to watch them during the season, but They closed out their ability to see other people's grades, so no one got, you know, kind of biased. And then they all got together to finally tell each other what they thought. And Elliot Wolf was like, I love Baker. And Dorsey's like, oh, my God, he's my guy, too. And Alonzo's like, Baker's my guy, too. And they all just fell in love, and then all of a sudden Baker was their guy. Remember that was like a famous kind of thing that happened? Definitely with Elliot and
that
Dorsey.
And Alonzo. Wasn't the other story Alonzo Highsmith talked to the UCLA girls volleyball coach or something? About Josh Rosen? Or was that somebody else?
Yeah, that was Alonzo Highsmith that talked to, like, Josh Rosen's ex-girlfriend LAX.
Yeah, his girlfriend, the coach, she was, like, on the UCLA volleyball team. So he, like, ran into the team. He's like, oh, why don't you ask her? She's right over there or something like that.
Did she crush him?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, she was, like, gave him compliments?
I didn't think it was an ex-girlfriend. I thought it was a current girlfriend.
That definitely happened. Ran into her in the hotel. That's a good part about drafts is you get all these weird stories about detective work. You know, like I ran into this guy at Applebee's that was Baker Mayfield's Little League coach that told me this story that just cemented it for me. You're like, oh, are you kidding me? But that'll be like the headline of Peter King's article in the end of April, right? Like, well, the Cincinnati Bengals blew everyone away and they took Justin Herbert. And then whoever Peter King's article would be like, well, it turns out Mike Brown didn't do any research. He just kind of liked Herbert more. That would be the article on the Bengals. Yeah, I just think the Browns are in shambles, guy. They're just – what I don't get, I can't understand for the life of me. Why doesn't Paul DePodesta just name himself the general manager? Because he doesn't want the heat?
But he gets the heat. I know.
So wouldn't you, if you were him, just name yourself the GM?
Well, John, that's what Ron Wolf said. There's just no accountability with the analytic community.
You agree with that?
That place has fired more people than anybody.
They fire someone every year. Do you think that's a fair assessment that there's no accountability with the numbers?
No.
Because you can't go, well, because Ron Wolf's basically saying, well, they didn't take Carson Wentz because of the numbers. Well, yeah, that might be true. But every human on the outside goes, you idiots. Well, they didn't take Deshaun Watson because of the numbers. Well, yeah, they can say, well, our numbers, it was just we didn't know because of the numbers. Well, every human on the outside goes, well, these guys are just idiots. So they are, yeah, there's no accountability. Every single person with a breathing mind thinks they're the village idiots. Like, that's the thing. Like, to me, the problem with Ron Wolf's statement is his son was just fired, so it feels a little personal, which I get. I mean, it is personal. But it's like, Ron, they are the laughing stock of the league. So everyone thinks they don't get any respect. It's not like, well, it's not like they're treated like the Eagles or something. You know, they just know what they're doing. They just fire a lot of people. They're just everyone's making fun of them constantly. And they consistently get it wrong. I think the bigger thing is Baker Mayfield in a little trouble? You see a picture on TMZ today?
No.
They tweeted Saquon, Baker Mayfield, and one other guy with their beach bods in the Caribbean. And Saquon's just jacked, you know? You can see every fiber of muscle in his body. Some other NFL player just flexing, just got that V down by, you know, on your waistline that guys like you and me can't even comprehend what that feels like having that V.
That's correct, yeah.
And then they show Baker Mayfield kind of off in the back. Google this guy, or type in TMZ to Twitter. His body looks terrible, looks awful. He should not have been standing next to those guys. Do you have it up?
I'm looking right now.
I mean, it's not just that he's pasty white, like Baker needs a tan. It's that he looked flabby. He did not look good. You cannot take a shirt-off picture next to Saquon Barkley if you're short and kind of chubby. Be one thing if you're Eli, you know, and like got dad bod, but you're 6'7", 6'5". Mm-hmm. It's another thing when Saquon looks taller than you. Now, Saquon's like standing on something, but Baker looks, ugh.
Mm.
You have the picture?
Yeah.
What do you think? Am I overreacting?
Well, as somebody who sucks in, clearly sucking in.
But you agree for a number one overall pick that's taking a lot of shit, maybe like, is the guy working that hard? It's got a bad look.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like he doesn't even work out. Guy, he's a professional athlete. He looks terrible, and he's young. That's the other thing. It'd be one thing, well, you know, he's 35. You know, if Breeze took off his shirt, you'd be like, I actually think Breeze would be in good shape. He looks terrible. He looks, if I was Elliot, or not Elliot Wolfskull, if I was Andrew Berry and these guys, I would get on the phone with his agent. Like, hey guys, we need to, what's he doing? That picture is embarrassing.
Well, to me, it's not the bottom line. The what's he doing is not a response necessarily to. It's not don't take the picture. It's like, hey, dude, are you doing everything you can do to get yourself right? It's not like it went well this year.
Yeah, my beef is not that he shouldn't be in the Caribbean or whatever. Saquon's in the Caribbean. Do you know what Saquon does? He works. I feel like, is Baker Mayfield work? Is he a fraud worker? Because he looks awful. I'm not talking about like film stuff. I'm talking about just, does he go to the gym? Is his diet awful? Like, bro, your livelihood is that body. And your body looks bad. You can have a bad body to me if you're Peyton. Remember Matt Ryan used to, remember the one,
yeah,
the Hard Knocks when he was making fun of Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Those guys are 6'4". Baker, you're 5'11". Just mix in a salad. Or a protein shake, or whatever. Just stop drinking beer. He looks like a beer drinker, which I don't even. Nothing wrong with being a beer drinker, but when you're 6 foot and you had a terrible season, you know, you'd think, does he have much self awareness? Doesn't really feel like it.
No, I've never felt like there was a lot there, but that's part of the, you know, I do this to shut the haters up. Is usually kind of those things go hand in hand. Typically,
Kobe did that, and he worked.
Yeah, but Kobe, I didn't feel like did it to shut the haters up. He did it because he wanted to be the best.
Yeah, it was more the haters. Like, the opponents were the haters in his mind.
But it wasn't even, like, I don't even think he needed the haters. He just wanted to be the best. He wanted to be the best. That's why he did it.
You look at that body.
And as Shaq said, wanted to be bigger than Will Smith. That's what Shaq told him. I want to be the best, and I want to be a bigger icon than Will Smith. You can. That tells you when that conversation was had.
Well, at that time, Will Smith was pretty big. It sounds kind of funny now, but it's if you place yourself in like '96, post Fresh Prince and Bad Boys, you're like, that makes some sense. That do you look at Baker Mayfield's body and think he dreams of being the best?
I do not know.
Or at least, if I was giant,
hasn't been shown the way there, right? Like, we talked about it a little bit the other day. I don't think it can be overstated, like what Patrick Mahomes has said. We forget this guy sat a year behind Alex Smith. And he said, like, Alex, I don't think his lip service when he says, Alex showed me how to do it. I think that's real.
I agree.
I mean, there's obviously things that Mahomes can do that Alex can't do, but just in terms of how do you prepare, like, that's real. Like, you listen to some of the guys that were talking about Kobe the other day, like, I think Reggie was saying it. Like, Kobe would text him all the time, just asking him questions before he came into the league, just trying to figure stuff out. Like, he was always just trying to figure stuff out. If there's people that'll give you examples, right? If you're a top pick, like, people are dying to, your agent will get anybody and everybody on the phone to help you out.
You think if Baker wanted to be really good, he couldn't develop friendships with guys like Peyton Manning, guys like Drew Brees, guys like Tom Brady? I think part of one thing with an older athlete, retired or even late in their career, they're appreciative of the people that help them. So, I mean, how often do you get people ask you questions about your job? Do you reach back out?
You mean like younger? Yeah. Every time.
Because you remember when you reached out and no one reached back out to you. Like, when you reach out to an individual and never heard anything back, you're like, fuck that guy. And when a guy did, it really meant something to you. You don't forget.
It meant a lot. It's more, yeah, it wasn't about the people that didn't. It was about the people that did.
You're right. That's the petty hater in me. It's not about those people. It's about the people that did. It really means something to you. So when a guy is 20 years old, asks for advice, you realize they have no clue what to do. And sometimes I think, like, well, I don't really know what to do. I'm 35. And I would, you know, it's more tangible when you're an athlete just because there's not, like, anything tangible in most professions. You can keep making more money. There's not like an end date. You know, an athlete, it's either win or lose. It's pretty black and white. I just feel like Baker's kind of lost. And the organization bears some blame. You know, when you have a young player, it's on you to help them out a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, he has
like
to,
Freddie, giving him Freddie Kitchens is not helpful.
He wanted Freddie, though.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. You don't let that guy call the shots.
Isn't it great when you just get a guy that just knows what they're doing? When they just do it themselves, like Mahomes. It's just like, He just works hard. What do you need? No, I'm good. What time's
but
left?
You look,
I'll be there.
Son of a pro. Son of a pro, and Alex Smith was basically his mentor, and Andy Reid's his coach. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
From one Baker to another, John, congrats to Dusty Baker, Northern California, Sacramento zone, for becoming the manager of the Astros.
You ever go to Dusty Baker baseball camp, Sacramento?
Never. No, never did. Did you?
I think I went with Travis Wilson when I was in like 12, when I was 12 years old.
Two Travis Wilson references in one podcast.
I sat with him. Was it Marcus Wilson? I was on Marcus Wilson's Little League team.
Marcus could play. Marcus was good.
Marcus was legit. He was, you know, because when you're in sixth grade, Little League is fifth and sixth graders are both in majors in Davis. But if you're a good enough fourth grader, you play in the majors. And Marcus went right to the majors and was hitting bombs. I mean, I couldn't. I was terrible. I was like our worst player. He was by far our best player, him and Jared Kolehi. And
also just
old school, old school Davis drops. But yeah, Dusty Baker, 1 year deal. What do you think about the 1 year deal?
Yeah, I mean, if you take it, like he's been wanting to get back in. I know he has, so you got to take it, right?
You do.
What if it goes really well? I think so. He wants to get back in baseball. The Houston Astros are going to give you like you're not too. You're like, oh no, I have to take a three. It's like no, I want to be a manager. Someone's telling me I can be a manager. You want to be a manager? You can be a manager for a year. Doesn't mean
on a team that's good.
Maybe you're the manager next year again. I don't know.
Team option.
Yeah, but I'm just like Joe Espada, the next guy up, ends up as the bench coach. He doesn't get the job.
Well, he's got a little blood on his hands, right?
Hell yeah. So I love it. Now, is this where I say congrats, Dusty Baker, and then tweet a photo of me and Dusty? Isn't that the way you do the internet? Will you congratulate somebody else and use it as an opportunity to tweet a photo of the two of you together?
Can we touch on that for a quick second?
Yes.
Kobe's death is every single person I've talked to, every single person you've talked to, every single people that are talking to each other is as crazy of a death as we've all seen in a long, long time. It's probably it's one of the top like two or three LA deaths ever. Not murders. I'm talking just unexpected random death.
Yeah, I had somebody put it this way to me today. They were like, I think it's for millennials, like the biggest kind of cultural death they've experienced. And I said, okay. I think that's probably fair.
Well put. A guy dies. I think there's two ways to look at it. You go, Kobe took a lot of freaking pictures with people, right? Took a lot of pictures. Because it felt, because who'd I see say this? Draymond. I thought Draymond put it well. He's like, it's pretty nuts. He wasn't trying to diminish anyone. Just everywhere you looked, everyone had a picture of Kobe. He was trying to give him like a compliment. Like, this guy was mm-hmm. nice enough to take a picture with everybody. And then I started thinking, because Draymond was kind of rattled. Clearly, they were friends. They actually would have been perfect. Don't you think they would have been perfect for each other? Kobe would have liked Draymond a lot. I mean, as a teammate.
Yeah.
If you or me die tomorrow, do I tweet out or you tweet out a picture of me and you the next day? Because isn't the moment I do that not taken away from your death, but also inflicting myself in your death and your family's sorrow? Even though it's also my sorrow, it's different. Like if Shaq tweets out a picture of Kobe, like, yeah, that's those two guys. That to me is different. Or Rick Fox or his teammates. Like Swaggy
Rick Fox.
P.
Oh my God, the Rick Fox part of this. Yeah.
Yeah, that part's crazy. But anyone that played with Kobe, I'm not counting them. Or played in the NBA. Like if Draymond or Steph, I'm just talking, let's just go media members. Because there were a lot of media members that had pictures with Kobe. And I don't blame them. Like take a picture with Kobe. Okay, I get it. But I found myself today thinking a couple times, like, do I get a picture with Colin Coward? Like, no, I'm not going to ask Colin for a fucking picture. I'm just talking to him like a normal human being. If me and you were together and we're just having a normal conversation, we're going to take a picture together. We always have to take pictures with everyone. And then you think like, well, if I could show other people just so I can brag on the internet, like there's a picture. And then I want like, should I go ask Drew Rosenhaus for a picture? Why? Say I took a picture of Drew Rosenhaus? Or do I just let Drew Rosenhaus be and take a sneaky picture from the side?
You know, you took a photo of Jerome Bettis and Rod Woodson, but you were not in the photo.
No, because I was talking to them both. They were giving these cool stories. And I'm like, hey, guys, can you just take a photo? I wasn't going to be in the photo. I just wanted them to take the photo. Did you see how happy they were? Like, it was just it was legit joy. Like, they were family members. Why would I go in that fucking photo? Those guys, both in the Hall of Fame, arguably a top three DB ever. I don't want Jerome to know this, but I didn't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But I did like Jerome Bettis, and he's a really nice guy. Let them take the photo. I felt like my mom. But I wasn't going to be in the photo. So, yeah, I mean, some of these people posting these photos about Kobe, I go back and forth. I mean, it's such a powerful death.
Like, I've seen people say, like, you know, don't shame people for grieving in their way. It's like, well, I'm not into grief shaming. But I do think I would say that, like, I do think it's a positive reflection of Kobe that so many people have photos with a guy that clearly got asked for a lot of photos, and he took a lot of them.
That was Draymond's point.
I think that's a totally fair point, and I do kind of view it as a case by case. Like, there are the ones I look at and I go, okay, that seems kind of self-serving. And I'm not even talking about photos. I just mean injecting just the whole thing. And there are others that are that feel authentic. And it's hard because you can't tell somebody, oh, you didn't know him, he didn't mean anything to you. Well, maybe he did mean something to somebody who didn't know him. You don't have to. That's the point, I think, right? Is that he was big enough to inspire people who didn't know him. So I don't think there's really much value, as much as I'm not saying we don't have this conversation because I enjoy it, but I do think that it is consistent with the way the internet works.
Yes. About me injecting into the story.
Yes, but it doesn't invalidate the legitimate celebrations of a person's life or the pain that people feel. There are a couple tweets that I won't even say because it's not fair that I was like, okay, that's...
I would agree. And there were several NBA players. You get carte blanche tweet pictures if he helped you. Like, Kyrie had to leave. I'm not the biggest Kyrie guy, but I know they were buddies. Like that. Jason Tatum said he was really rattled. Remember, he went to like Kobe school last year, just the two of them, like working on footwork. Like, you know him. Like, that's, and he helps you out. Imagine if, like, when you were 20, Marv Albert had you, or whatever, right? Joe Buck. Like, even though, like, you knew Joe Buck? Yeah, he fucking taught me a couple tricks of the trade, just me and him. You'd be like, I'm fucked up, he died. I don't want him to die. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, a lot of NBA players were throwing around hashtag Mamba mentality pretty liberally for a league that ain't really a lot of Mamba mentality.
Did notice that as well, yes.
So that would be my beef. Like, hey, guys, if you're going to throw around this mom mentality, which he legit lived by, you better be like Klay Thompson playing both ways. I don't want to hear mom mentality, dude ain't playing no defense, you know, or load managing twice a week. Like, that ain't mom mentality.
Did you see Steve Nash on the TNT thing on Thursday or Tuesday?
Yeah.
He was great. Because he was like, you know, Kobe came up to me. He's like, you know, how do you learn to trust your teammates? And Steve's a smart guy. He's like, you know what I loved about Kobe is I don't even know if he was he saying to me that I had a better team than him around me and that's why I beat him. Like, Kobe was just an ultimate mind game guy. He's like, I think that's what he might have been saying to me, but I don't know. And that's what I loved about Kobe. He's like, he just played all these mind games. So when Kobe asked me, how do you trust your teammates? He wasn't really asking me. He might have been really asking me, but he might have also just been telling me, like, you got lucky you had a good team. It was just fascinating.
That was good. I thought Steve Nash, when it first started talking, almost felt uncomfortable. Like, he didn't want to inject himself into it, but understands his place in basketball history, and they played. Like, he's smart enough to realize people do want to hear from him on it. Like, he was kind of in a tough spot. There's been some weird spots with it, right? I've just not felt uncomfortable with just different people. Okay, just give me Shaq and Jerry West. Like, those guys drafted him, and that was his most famous teammate. Just let those guys talk. It's hard for other people to talk in just certain situations. I mean, I get it. The NBA, it's a smaller fraternity, and all these guys know. That is the one thing. Like, NFL players, not everyone knows each other, right? If you play your whole career for the Jaguars and I played 4 years for the Niners, we might never have met. But if we both play in the NBA for 6 years, we're probably going to know each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a decent chance, like, don't just know each other. Oh, yeah, we used to hoop in L.A. in the offseason. And, like, you know, when so-and-so got traded here, he was boys with the guy. So I went to a couple dinners with him. It's just so closely connected. and he played in the league for 20 years. So his – that's where it's like I'm easy on the NBA guys. I was unfazed by it. But the Mamba mentality by the younger players was like, bullshit, guys. Like, you guys – check how many all defensive teams he made. You guys don't even try.
It's aspirational.
But to me, there's a difference between aspirational and another thing. Like, if you're not good at defense, but you try, it's like, okay, Kobe would respect you. If you just don't play D, like, he would think you're a clown. He thought those guys were clowns. America thinks you're clowns. We don't watch because, like, are you guys even trying? If you load manage once every other week, Kobe's respecting you? A guy that played through a million injuries? No chance. Mom mentality. Are you playing tomorrow? No, I don't do back-to-backs. Well, that's like a gardener snake mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fair.
Okay, time to eat.
On that note, enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody.
Super Bowl 54 is here.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.